This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. Let's say you've been having stomach pain for nearly a week and you finally decide it's time to go to the doctor. Your doctor asks you a few questions about the pain, its onset, and associated symptoms and signs. She then tells you that you have mesenteric adenitis. Oh my gosh, you think. How bad is it? I mean, is the end near? Well, it is not. Mesenteric adenitis is the doctor's attempt to medicalize what your grandmother would have described as a tummy ache. Eat simple starches, keep yourself hydrated, stay away from alcohol and pain medications. You know the drill. After the doctor reassures you that the condition is likely a viral infection and will pass in a few more days, you breathe a big sigh of relief. This idea of using language to medicalize common human conditions is more than just cute. It has serious implications. When doctors tell us we have gastroesophageal reflux disease or polycystic ovary disease or carcinoma in situ, we worry. These sound really bad. In fact, the gastroesophageal reflux disease is indigestion. It's not a disease. The polycystic ovary syndrome is hormonal irregularity. And carcinoma in situ means abnormal cells in the breast duct. It's not cancer. In the BMJ, researchers studied language and found that when doctors use medicalized terms, patients are much more likely to want or expect something, medications, tests, or treatments, compared to when the exact same condition is described in common English. So those people with polycystic ovary syndrome, they wanted x-rays. Those with the carcinoma in situ, they wanted surgery. And those with the gastroesophageal reflux disease wanted prescription drugs, compared to those who had the same conditions described in English. Doctors are not alone in medicalizing the ordinary. Health professionals of all sorts love to use these terms. Perhaps they make us feel special or smart. Dentists who want to tell us that we have crooked teeth inform us that we have malocclusion syndrome. Nurse midwives tell us that we have a hormone deficiency when they mean to say that we're going through menopause. And, of course, miscommunication can also run in the opposite direction, such as when doctors don't want to say what really needs to be said frankly and instead use vague, waffly terms. For example, the family of a patient who is very near to death may be told by his doctor that their father isn't looking good. Practicing clear communication is critical to improving health outcomes and creating trust between the doctor and patient. The irony is that our medical trainees come to our schools already speaking really clear common English. It's medical, dental, and nursing schools where we train them to medicalize and distance themselves from their patients. This is Dr. Michael with a second opinion.